Hi, it's Diane. It is May 5th, and it's 2 o'clock. I'm here with Megan so far. We'll see if other folks join us. Megan, why don't you go ahead and check in?
Well, I kind of had to laugh when I just opened up the Parent Success Workbook. I hadn't looked at it ahead of time, and I saw that the topic is humor. And it made me laugh because just last night, my husband and I decided on using humor as a strategy with our current problems.
Wow. So, perfect timing, I guess, huh?
Yes.
So what have you learned? So did you try anything last night?
Well, we decided last night after everyone was sleeping, but we did try it this morning, and so far, so good.
Cool. Cool. Well, so what area particularly are you focused in on?
Well, we've been having a lot of problems with our kids taking their arguments to the next level. So they'll get in a little disagreement, and then instead of, you know, solving it, they'll hit each other or even bite. Or just, you know, have a huge temper tantrum. And my son's been working on that with his therapist. You know, last week they thought of a whole bunch of different strategies he could use instead of hurting someone. And that's the main issue. And then we've just been kind of having some problems with everyone around here kind of being grumpy, and, you know, we're all snapping at each other. And, you know, my other kids seem to be in on it too. Even the two-year-old is doing a lot of screaming. And everyone just seems to be edgy and grumpy. So we decided to approach everything with kind of over-the-top humor and kind of see if we can get them to giggle their way out of stuff and focus more on our silliness than, you know, what they thought was a terrible problem that they had to hit someone or scream.
Yeah. So it sounds like you're thinking about it as a distraction. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. So I'm just curious, what had you tried before that you were that maybe wasn't working the way that you wanted to?
Well, we talked last week about, you know, explaining things and how, you know, that doesn't always work with kids. You know,
right.
I was in this ridiculous argument with my six-year-old last night about whether or not it was shower night. And
yeah.
He was positive that he had taken a shower the night before, and I'm, you know, yelling back at him, no, and I'm telling him this is exactly what happened the night before, and no, you didn't take a shower, and, you know, I was upset, so I finally just picked him up and carried him to the shower, and, you know, that doesn't make anyone feel good.
Right.
And, you know, other things that we've been doing, you know, would be if they're hitting each other, you know, they get tired of us hearing, you need to solve the problem, come up with a solution, or you need to apologize to each other. We just kind of feel like broken records.
Yeah, and it's frustrating because you feel like you're trying to use logic and reason, and it's not working.
Right.
So what do you think is breaking down with logic and reason? If you get curious about what's going on in the moment or in their brains or...
I think they're just too heated at the time, and they can't, you know, they can't think about those things. Or, you know, also it's just a busy time of year. There's lots of activities, lots of sports. Staying late out later, so they don't want to go to bed. And I think they're just kind of tired and, you know, when you're tired, you don't always think logically.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. So they're kind of over it, you're kind of over it, and the, you know, any reason of logic or sound thinking doesn't resonate because everybody's a little bit triggered and overwhelmed, and, you know, having to think about something requires processing speed and working memory and all those things that our kids are challenged with normally, let alone when they're over it, right?
Right.
Cool. So, so if you get really specific, Megan, where do you want to take aim?
I think I want to take aim on having my son not physically hurt his siblings or his parents when something doesn't go his way.
Okay. So is it about de-escalating? Is it about preventing? Is it about a combination?
I don't know.
Okay, so let's get curious. So when you kind of reflect on, when was the last time you noticed it happen?
Yesterday.
Okay, so you get the bird's eye view, and you know, complete playback. Somebody films the entire thing, and you have the ability to kind of go back and look at the film. And what do they call it in football? There's like a instant replay, right? So you have instant replay, but so you're going back and you're looking at the tapes and you're reviewing the tapes. What stands out for you the most as important to note?
Well, when he is in an argument with one of his siblings, I think maybe he is feeling not heard.
Yes.
So yesterday, his brother wanted to water the plants because normally Charlie does that, and so he wanted to have a turn. And Charlie had told him which plants to water. Well, he started watering some other plants, and Charlie got really mad, and he was saying, "You're not supposed to water those. You're supposed to water the pansies. You're not supposed to water those." And then he just got up and went over to him and pushed him because his brother wasn't responding to him. So I think he gets violent when he feels not heard.
Well, so he's got some rigid thinking going on there, right? So he's got this sort of, okay, he's already having a compromise. In his mind, he wants to water all the plants. He's trying to be a good kid and share, but he creates this box where this is where I'm sharing. And on some level, it's also a transition thing because in his mind, he's doing this is what's going to happen, and then all of a sudden something else is going to happen. Mm-hmm. And he has a hard time with transition, and so he really feels out of control in that moment.
Yes.
Okay. So what's a realistic expectation? So if we do a 3-5 challenge here, let me sorry, roll back for a second. Was this a situation where he was a little bit more tired than more normal, hungry than normal? Was there a particular time of day that is more susceptible?
Yes, which is almost every time that we're all together because it was after school, after his medication had worn off. He had already had a snack, and he had already played outside, so he had gotten those, you know, two things that he kind of needs for activating his brain. But the whole entire, you know, after 3:30 p.m. time frame is usually difficult.
Yep. Okay. So you already know that it's a sensitive time of day. So again, it comes back to, is it about prevention? Is it about, you know, is it something you think that if it were to happen again, you might be able to see it coming reasonably?
I think so. I was right there, and I was, as he was yelling at his brother to stop and his brother wasn't listening to him, I was trying to say, it's okay, it's okay. He's just trying to help. There are more flowers to water. It's okay. You know, I was trying to say calming things, and But because his brother didn't stop immediately, he just took it into his own hands.
Yeah, yeah. Well, so if you, you know, so imagine you're inside his little ADHD brain. What do you think was going on?
Yeah, he was just furious that what he thought was going to happen was not working out.
Yep, okay. So think about other transitions that you guys have in his life, in your life, because it's a disappointment. A disappointment is a transition. It's no different than, okay, we're going to have to go to bed in 10 minutes, right?
Right.
So where does he handle transitions better than other times?
When his medication is working,
okay.
He handles them a lot better. He also handles them better when he gets a chance to voice his opposition, but then you leave him alone. Which couldn't really happen in this situation, but at other times, if you tell him something's going to happen, he typically responds with, you know, saying he doesn't want to do it. But then if you leave him alone for 5 or 10 minutes, then all of a sudden he'll, you know, have his shoes on and be ready to go and be excited about it.
Yeah, yeah. So there's a couple things I hear in what you're saying. One is, you know, you're putting him in a situation where you need him to cooperate, and there is an activate the brain challenge, right? So his medication's not kicked in. It's harder for him to stay focused. It's harder for him to be in that groove. And there's part of him that wants to feel heard. And so I guess the question is it an overall management sort of thing where you're, you know, avoiding situations that need extreme cooperation when you know that he's, you know, in that mode? Is it about validating him? And so even if his brother doesn't hear him,
mm-hmm.
that you say, oh, sweetie, I hear that you, you know, yes, you asked him. You did such a good job of telling him. Isn't it crazy that he can't, you know, that he can't follow directions very well? Or, you know, something like that where it's like you're just hearing him even though his brother doesn't hear him.
Mm-hmm.
Or is it about just giving him the space to be upset when he's upset?
I think it would have to be number two because it would be impossible to avoid situations because, you know, they're going to be together after school. And a lot of times I'm not going to be right there. But when I am, you know, I can validate that.
Yeah. So since you guys are considering humor, you want to just take a second and chat about humor for a second and see?
Yeah.
Okay. So humor is one of the five areas that motivates the ADHD brain. And we talked about those in a couple of different chapters. But I just want to kind of, I've been reviewing them with everybody. I'm going to pull up the chapter here. So I have it. Okay. So the five areas of motivation are urgency, interest, novelty, competition, and then humor or playfulness. And so it does a couple things. One is it's an energy shifter. So when things start to get intense, things start to increase. Humor is a great way to, you know, if you laugh, it kind of works the same way as if you take a deep breath or you take a few sips of water when we talk about sugar management. And so if our kids are starting to escalate, it can be a way for them to reclaim their brain. It also can be a way to really even just simply motivate them. And so it's kind of like, come on, let's make this a game. This is exciting. How can we have fun with this? Is a way that, you know, if you think about the cleanup song they used to teach in, like, kindergarten, right? So it's everybody's singing a song, everybody's playing a game. Suddenly cleaning up becomes fun and exciting and entertaining all at the same time. And so the thing that is important here is kind of knowing when and how, because you know, you articulated that so well. It's like your kid starts to escalate. If you get to a point where they're too far escalated, making a joke might shut them down completely, or might make them feel like, okay, you're not taking me seriously, and trigger them even further.
Right.
And they might see it as sarcasm. I mean, I think that that's the other piece of it, is like, no matter what, I think you read this in the chapter, it's like you have to make sure that there's no hidden judgment underneath it. And a lot of times, the voice in our head that's frustrated and likes to use humor is going, oh yeah, no, that's kind of that snarky, sarcastic, judgy humor that tends to push everybody's buttons. So it's just important to pay attention to that. But the reality is that this is a way to keep things lighter and keep things moving forward. So when you and your husband were talking about using this as a tool, what specifically did you have in mind that you might be able to do differently?
Well, we've talked in the past about approaching problems by trying to stay calm. Mm-hmm. And when things get really bad, it's definitely hard for us to do that. So so we're thinking that by using humor, that would be a way for us to stay calm, first of all, by, you know, giving us a strategy to deal with the problems. And then the second part of it, we were going to do kind of goofy, silly humor, to kind of get the kids to think, you know, mom and dad are being crazy. They're being so silly. And as you said before, kind of a distraction.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of getting them to see the problems aren't such a big deal.
Well, and that's the thing, is that often we get, hyper-focused on, oh my gosh, I can't believe this. My brother's watering the pansies and he wasn't supposed to. I'm making that up, but you know what I mean. But it's that it's hard for them to see anything else. And I like this idea of the two pieces of it. One is to kind of help you guys to look at it more lightly, to stay in that problem-solving mode, because you're managing your own triggers, and then you're using it to be silly and crazy and kind of encourage the kids to kind of lighten up a little bit. It's interesting when you think about it. It's like, okay, so you're looking at a situation and maybe it's a deja vu sort of thing. It's like, okay, here we are again. The kids are being crazy, or the kids are, you know, they're fighting, they're hitting each other again, or they're escalating again. And if you look at that and you say, oh my gosh, I can't believe they're doing this again. They're never going to stop this. This is crazy. What am I going to do? Or I can't believe they're doing this again. They've got to stop. This can't be happening. You know, so some of those intense sort of energies, I love this sort of, oh, well, here we are. We're in crazy land again. Isn't this hilarious? But here we are. And once again, they're about to hit each other and get all crazy. And here we are again.
Right.
It does. How does that feel lighter for you?
Just to, you know, not take things so seriously, and, you know, realize that everyone has bad moments, and hopefully we can get them to laugh their way out of a bad moment.
Yeah. So, scale of 1 to 10, how confident are you that this is a tool that you can use when they start heating up with kids?
I'm pretty confident in it because, for one thing, they're little. So they think, you know, anything, like, goofy, they think is just funny. Mm-hmm. And it's just something that we haven't really tried too much. So it's got the novelty factor.
Yeah,
and there's a lot of different things we can do, so we can kind of mix it up all the time. And I'm sure they'll be, getting in on it a little bit, and which I'm sure will be a little bit annoying, but, you know, it's a, I guess it's a small price to pay.
So the idea is to not just have like a system where you're always, I'm trying to think, I remember some movie I watched where when everything's got too tense, the dad always say, okay, here comes the tickle monster, and he'd do like the little claw, and he'd like go after the kids with the claw, and that was always kind of his thing. You're talking about just kind of bringing more humor and more lightness consistently and in lots of different ways in the family.
Right, right. And
yeah.
The one thing that we did talk about was if they do start, you know, getting in an argument, kind of taking a silly twist on it and being like, oh, they're so cute when they fight. Get the video camera. We have to remember this moment. They're so cute. And just, you know, kind of be silly in that way.
Uh-huh.
You know, there's lots of different things we'll do, but...
Yeah.
Instead of taking our normal, you know, grumpy mom and dad approach, just kind of doing the opposite of what we would want to do.
Amazing. So what's going to be hard about this for you, Megan?
In those busy times, you know, when you're trying to get out the door, you're trying to make dinner, I think that's going to be hard to not fall back into the same old responses.
So is that about being strategic about when you use it and when you don't try to as you're getting started? Is that about giving yourself some grace when you don't turn as successful as you'd like to? Is that about practice makes perfect? What do you think?
Yeah, I think probably all of those. Definitely there'll be some times when they're not up for it and we just will kind of have to gauge each kid and how they're doing with it.
Mm-hmm.
And then also, yeah, it's not necessarily something that comes super natural to me because I've always been more of a serious person. So I'll definitely, you know, be practicing it. And obviously just from since I've had kids, I've gotten better at it over the years.
Right.
But
yeah.
But yes, it will take some practice just to keep myself geared up for it.
Well, and so it's about having a tool in the toolkit. I mean, it's not that this
right.
is the be-all, end-all. It sounds like this is something you want to try for the next couple of weeks and see what you notice is different. What do you need to do for yourself to help you to remember in those moments when it's not so easy to do it?
I don't know. I think partly, you know, telling myself that I don't want my kids to have memories of their childhood just of, you know, my voice lecturing them and have that kind of want, want, want noise in their head. I want them to remember, you know, I'd rather them remember all the fun times that we have together. So just trying to kind of keep that in the back of my head. And if worse comes to worse, I can just draw a big smiley face on my hand.
That makes me laugh. That's cool. So you're just like having a smiley face to remember that you're trying to keep it light.
Yeah, and I'm sure they'll notice it. And, you know, maybe they'll want smiley faces too. And we'll see what happens.
Yeah. Or maybe it's, you know, maybe there's some masks or some props or something you could kind of keep out in the household that would be kind of a way to remember it or a you know, post-it note reminder or, a you know, the two of you guys, since you're going to be working on this together, it can be like a tag team-y kind of thing where, you know, you remind each other or you hit tag or and one of you is a straight man and one of you is the funny guy and that sort of stuff. But the cool thing is you get to play with us, right? You get to try different things and see what works for you.
Right. Right.
And I love that. Go ahead.
My husband he's naturally a jokester. So he'll have to, I guess, employ different methods than he normally does. Just to, you know, kind of keep it novel for the kids. But, you know, maybe if they see mommy being silly and daddy not, you know, it'll be kind of fun for them too.
Yeah. Well, that's interesting. So, so what agreement adjustment do you need to make with your husband based on anything we talked to today?
I think, you know, I just want him not to slide into sarcasm, which comes really naturally for him.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, they don't, either they don't get it or it kind of makes them feel bad.
Right.
And so just to kind of, you know, keep it goofy.
Yeah, so to remind him that, that there's that fine line and that and see what support he needs to figure out how to stay on one side of the line.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And how do you want to support yourself in making this easy for you?
Besides my smiley face hand.
Yep.
I guess just when it doesn't work, when it backfires on me, and, you know, just to realize, you know, that's okay too, and try something else. It's not
mm-hmm.
always going to work in every situation.
Well, and that's the opportunity and the challenge in this, is because the same thing doesn't always work, and the reality is that humor might work for a while, and then all of a sudden, you know, you feel like you're losing control, and then you're like, okay, wait, I got to try something else for a while, or whatever it is. And it's just a matter of, again, it's knowing what your toolbox is, Megan, and then knowing when to go for a new tool, because it's feeling like the one you've got isn't working well.
Mm-hmm.
So how can your kids help you with this?
How can they help me? I guess, you know, once I kind of see more of what works for each kid, then just trying to use, you know, what works best for each of them because they are so different.
Mm-hmm. I guess I'm wondering, what kind of pops into my head is, how much are you going to tell them about what you're trying to do?
I'm not really sure. You know, I guess I was just kind of going to wait until they asked, you know, why are you being so silly today? And I guess just kind of tell them the truth that, you know, I'm tired of feeling grumpy and tired of everybody else acting grumpy. And I thought if we acted fun and silly, that it might make everybody happier.
Well, and I'm wondering whether they're, you know, you might see whether they have the maturity to, you know, have a you know, family conversation and everybody make a commitment to trying to be more funny when things get crazy.
Yeah,
there may be times, and I don't know. I mean, it just depends on your kids and their level of maturity.
Yeah, I don't know if we're there, if we would be there yet. Typically, when we've tried, you know, like family meetings or family discussions, they haven't gone so well, but maybe I'll listen to the webinar that you guys recently did on it and think a little bit more about that.
Well, the other thing that I know I've had parents do, I've got another parent with like an older, like they got, she's got a 9-year-old and they've got twins who are 6 or 5, I think. And they have, you know, kind of designed an alliance with the older child and said, this is what we're working on. Will you help us? And just kind of rather than having everybody in the family together, but just kind of make it a big kid job.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if that appeals at all in your situation. I just thought I'd throw it out there.
It might when it comes to my 2-year-old, because she's been mimicking a lot of bad behaviors that she's been seeing. So I could employ the older ones you know, say to them, you know, we really need to work on this with her. And, you know, instead of getting mad at her, you know, see if doing this silly solution works. So I think if I posed it that way, that might actually work.
Cool. So, how do you feel in terms of a plan for moving forward?
I feel, you know, good about giving it a try as one of my strategies and just seeing how it goes. It's a nice rainy day here, so we'll all be cooped up after school in the house. So I'm sure we'll get some chances to practice it.
So what stood out most for you in the conversation?
I guess that, you know, it's just another tool, and I can't expect for humor to always work, but maybe it's a tool that I haven't been using enough of. And
well, it makes perfect sense because it's something that doesn't come so naturally to you. And then you watch your husband and you wonder whether his sarcasm gets in the way. So it makes sense that this wouldn't be the first tool that you'd go to.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
yeah, it'll be interesting to see how it goes.
Yeah. So what's your commitment? Let's just kind of do our wrap up here and we can figure out whether you want to keep the recording or what we're going to do.
Okay. So my commitment is for my husband and I to lighten up our responses to problems using humor.
And what do you need to do to set yourself up for success?
I just need to keep reminding myself of, you know, to do that instead of maybe my normal reactions.
Cool. And you said you're going to do that with a smiley face and some grace.
Yeah.
And a toolbox.
Right.
Awesome. How does that feel?
It feels good. It feels like a good strategy.
Cool. And so you said that you're gonna try this afternoon because you've got your inside and it's rainy and the likelihood of the grumpiness and the edginess coming up is higher today.
Yes.
Good. All right. Cool. So do you want me to keep the recording and put it on the website? Would you rather me not? It's completely up to you.
Sure, I think that's fine.
Yeah, we had a really great conversation about humor. I think it'll be great. Thank you for sharing and being so open.
Sure.
All right. Have a great week, Megan. We're on in 2 weeks. The next call is the week after next.
Okay, great. We'll talk to you in 2 weeks.
All right. Take care.
Thank you. You too.
Bye.
Bye.